All right, so let me ask this. When was the best decade for music? Anybody? Okay, we got some 80s in here. Okay, well, you got any 70s in here? 70s, 60s? 40s? Faye, did you just say 40s? Woo! Let's go. I heard someone say 90s. There was no good music in the 90s. That was a weird time, guys. 90s, that's a weird time. You know, some younger people in this room, you might say, hey, it's right now. Like, right now is the best music. When is the best time for music? And it's really subjective. It's based off of your experience and what has moved you. So, for example, let me say some lyrics, see if you guys can help me with them. Just take those old records off the shelf. I'll sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. Okay, there you go. I like the old time rock and roll. Old time rock and roll by Bob Seger, 1978. He is writing a song and singing it, remembering his youth. The song saying, hey, the songs aren't the same anymore. Man, I just remember back in the day, that good music, man, it did something inside me. Like it changed me. Soul music, you know? What is soul music? Well, soul music is this genre of music that has this deep feeling and like passion that drives the lyrics and the rhythm. But you can say that probably for any kind of music, that it is your soul music. And let me ask this question for us today. What lights a fire in your soul? I'm not talking about music anymore, but I'm talking about like deep down inside, what is it that gives you like a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning to your life that kind of changes you? I'm wearing these Toms shoes right now. And Toms is a shoe company that kind of has a really strong purpose as well. They give 33% of their revenue to nonprofit charities because that's a passion of theirs. In fact, in the past, they used to have this system where if you bought a pair of shoes, they would also give an equal pair of shoes to someone around the world. In about 15 years, they gave away 100 million pairs of shoes. Why would a company give away 100 million pairs of shoes? It's because it drove them. It was a passion of theirs. It was something that lit a fire in them, that we didn't want to just provide shoes for people that can pay for them. We wanted to give shoes to people that they can't pay for them. We all know shoes are good until they're not good anymore, you know? How many of you guys have a pair of mowing shoes? Mowing shoes, you know? Man, one time those were great shoes. Like you bought them, you're like, I don't want to get these dirty, and you would walk around nice places with them. And now the only place you can take them is onto the grass. They're your mowing shoes. Shoes are good until they fall apart. And what usually happens with shoes is they lose their grip and the soles kind of separate and you lose them. Now, how many guys have ever had your shoes resoled? Anybody? Maybe you had like a nice pair of boots or something like that. You might have the bottoms of them resoled. We don't do that a lot of times. We just throw shoes out now. But people used to resole shoes because, hey, it's not getting the traction that it once did, and I still want to be able to wear those. Well, this month, this is what we're going to talk about. We're not talking about shoes. We're talking about your soul. S-O-U-L. We're going to talk about your soul this month. And if you're blanking on kind of like what is your purpose, what lights a fire inside of your soul, then maybe you need to be resold. Just like a pair of shoes needs some new traction, maybe you need some new traction in your life. In fact, there was a guy in the Bible that needed that same kind of fire lit in him. And his name is Nehemiah. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's digital or hard copy, I invite you to open to the first chapter of Nehemiah in the Old Testament. And it's about two-thirds of the way through the Old Testament. And we're gonna look at this guy's life. Now, let me give you a little background as you're turning there. Now, a lot of you might know about Nehemiah, but Nehemiah was a Hebrew that was born in captivity. He's in Persia. In fact, either his grandparents or his parents were taken from Jerusalem, from Judah, the land of Judah, where God's people dwelt, and they were taken as captives. Now, there was some still living in Jerusalem area. There's kind of a remnant of people, but the majority were sent off into captivity. Nehemiah is born into captivity. It's all he knows. And he has this job that's pretty crazy. He was the cupbearer of the king. Now, the cupbearer is not someone that pours drinks for people. He's the one who would taste all the food and taste the drink of the king. just to make sure it wasn't poison. And if it was poison, I mean, you mess up once, you're done, right? I mean, your life's over. But man, it's a very interesting job. I bet Nehemiah was the fattest guy around. I mean, he's eating all the time. He's eating all of the king's food, drinking everything the king is drinking. He was living a good life. He goes and asks the king to be able to go back to Jerusalem because he sees that there's a problem. And he goes back to Jerusalem and he begins to build this wall. And that's kind of the story of Nehemiah. But we find him today held in captivity. Have you ever felt like you're being held captive? Like by the circumstances of your life, maybe the responsibilities that you have, the situation you find yourself in, the requirements that you have to go through. And you're like, you know what, in my life, I have a passion for this thing, but I've got all these responsibilities. I can't really live out what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing. That was kind of the same situation for Nehemiah. He's kind of going through the motions, just living life. And then someone enters into his picture and speaks life into him, and it changes him forever. A couple of Hebrews travel all the way to the capital of Persia, and they go to Nehemiah, and they speak to him. And I want to read this to you in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3. We'll have it up on the screen. You got your copy, and I'm going to read from mine. Here's what it says. It said, they said to me, Nehemiah is telling the story. They said to me, things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. You're like, who cares about the walls of Jerusalem? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Well, back then, it was a big deal. In fact, for 90 years, no one had been taking care of the walls. For several generations, no one's taking care of them. They'd already been taken captive. The walls had been kind of knocked down. And throughout the decades, the walls are scavenged, taken apart. All of the different gates are torn down. I mean, they're in a vulnerable spot because there are all of these different people around them that wanted to take over this great city. And it was really important to the Hebrew people because this is where God resides, right? God was there. His presence was there. He had given them this land, and they're supposed to steward it well and take care of it, and it's in terrible, terrible shape. And Nehemiah is presented with this life-altering decision. It was like a burden that was placed on him. A burden was created in his soul. Now, when you think about a burden can actually kind of sound kind of negative. You know, a burden can be something that's in a... It's bad for you. It keeps you down. But a burden can also be seen in this positive light where you have a burden or like a purpose or a, what I'm going to call today, a why. A why for your life. A reason for your life. Something that's so important that it kind of changes everything for you. And we know this is what happened for Nehemiah because look at the very next verse, verse 4. Here's what happens. Nehemiah says, when I heard this, I was like, someone else's problem. No, he says, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Have you ever done that? Been so burdened about something that, man, it just changed you. Like nothing else really mattered except for that one thing. That's where Nehemiah was. He realized that he was in this one place, and yet his reason for living, his why, was in another place, and he had to get there. Let me ask this, why are you here? Not here, but like, why are you here on this earth? Are you living out the purpose that God has fashioned you for? Or do you feel like you're stuck in the wrong place? You see, your purpose isn't just to exist. Let me say this to teenagers, young people, your purpose isn't just to exist through this life, but it's to truly live. To live the way that God created you to be, to find your purpose and to live it out. Several years ago, my parents are actually here today, and several years ago, we were at their house, and they had an older neighbor that was about to kind of go off to a nursing home, and we're like, really? Okay. Just come and take it. And I was like, I mean, if he had guns, that'd be like the trifecta, you know, for men. You're like, oh, hey, let's go. It's awesome. We got tools, we got golf clubs and guns. But he didn't have any guns, we asked. So we go through and we're looking and we're getting some golf clubs and talking to this gentleman, and he had all of these old tools. I mean, tools back in the day, They were built to last, you know, just way different than they are today. And I remember walking out with this old Craftsman tool box, just full of tools. It was heavy, and I take it home. And at my house, I've got a bunch of space for tools in my garage, and I've got shelves and drawers just full of tools. And there are some tools that I have inherited or gotten from people that I will never use. They're just taking up space, like a hand drill. Like, who uses a hand drill? But I got one of those. I'm never going to use it, but I can't get rid of it, you know? And half of the time when I'm looking for a tool, all I'm doing is pushing old tools out of the way and trying to find, only, you know, probably use 30 different tools. That's it. And I've got hundreds of them that I just have collected, and they're just taking up space. They're not being used for their purpose anymore. They're just sitting in a drawer. And I was thinking about this. What about your life? Are you just sitting in a drawer? Like, not really being used the way that you could be used? They're not really, you really living out your purpose. Nehemiah shows us how to get out of that drawer, because he was kind of just sitting there, just going through the motions. And he's going to show us today how to start really living our purpose. Do you want to know how you can find your God-shaped purpose in this life? It's exactly what Nehemiah did. Let me show you up on the screen here. Here's what you got to do. You got to find your why that outweighs your well-being. You got to find what is your purpose that outweighs your comfort. Do you have a burden in your heart for something that's bigger than your comfort? Because Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was willing to go to great lengths. He, I don't know if you realize this, but he actually approached the king of Persia, which you do not do, okay? He's a slave, and he's approaching the king with boldness and saying, can I have permission to go back and take care of this thing? In fact, he was so bold that he said, hey, can I get kind of a hall pass so that as I go through all these other countries, they will not attack me and kill me? And he approaches the king to do that, and he actually leaves. I mean, why would someone that has life all kind of figured out, live an easy, comfortable life, why would he go to those great lengths? It was because his well-being or his comfort was no longer the most important thing for him. It was his why. It was his purpose. Why would he do something like that? Because his burden outweighed his comfort. Look, it's why we struggle with physical health. Because comfort is greater, isn't it? It's why we struggle with addictions, because comfort is greater. It's why we struggle with living a Christ-like life and being selfless when there doesn't seem to be any perceived benefit for us personally. We struggle with that because comfort is greater. Because in our culture, comfort is our God. It is. It's something we strive for. It's something that we want. We love it more than anything else. And we can truly see that in our decisions that we make, our choices, and our behaviors. It's just kind of who we are. We strive for a comfortable life. But let me say this. Having a comfortable life is not a life's purpose. That can't be the purpose of your life. Your life is more valuable than that. So Nehemiah, he disregarded his well-being and his comfort because his why was greater. His reason for living was so powerful now. It changed him. He was willing to travel these great distances. He was willing to risk his life to face opposition and to work tirelessly and lead the people. In fact, that was probably the hardest thing for him, is he had to deal with people. Amen? Like, that sometimes in life, that's the hardest thing, dealing with people. And it's hard because sometimes, and I would say almost every time, our why is tied to people, you know? Our why for living as a mom, as a dad, as a grandparent. Our why is tied to people, and sometimes people are crazy. And in Nehemiah's story, these people were crazy. They did, they sometimes turned their back, they struggled, they argued, and he was trying to keep it all together throughout these pages, throughout this story. But Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem, and he begins serving God's purpose for his life. And here's what happens in the next chapter, Nehemiah chapter 2, in verse 17. Here's what he says. So he's observing what's going on. He kind of takes a tour of Jerusalem, sees it with some people, and he says, you know very well what trouble we are in. It's a pretty profound statement. You know how bad this is? We are not in a good spot. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. So it says, hey, here's what we're going to do. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. Hey, let's do something about it. You know, when I think about his purpose here, or the people's purpose, I'm reminded of our purpose as a church. One of our purposes is to your left and to your right. We talk about all the time is to love people. One of the purposes of Central is to love people. Let me tell you a secret. If you're a part of this church, if you're connected here, then your individual purpose is tied to our collective purpose, to be Jesus to our world. Because we live in a world that is full of people who are hurting, who are struggling, who need help. They need purpose. They need salvation. They need hope in this life. And man, that is an incredible purpose. That should get us off of our chairs and actually go and do something, just like Nehemiah did. That ought to create a burden inside of us. A burden can be like this sense of dissatisfaction with the status quo. Think about Nehemiah. Nehemiah, he was not happy with the situation that was going on. And the question is, are you happy with the situation going on in our community? Are you happy with the people and their lives? Are you happy with the ones that God has put into your life? The ones who are struggling and hurting? And what are you doing for them? What is your purpose? Man, to make a difference in people's lives, that's a really powerful why. And Nehemiah's why was to fix what was broken. Do we have the same purpose when it comes to people? Do we have a desire just for ourselves and our comfort, or to actually make a difference in people's lives? Nehemiah, he got this burning in his soul. Anybody ever have heartburn in here? You know, heartburn, you can't escape heartburn, right? Like it was medicine, I guess, but like it's something that affects you. Do you have that not in your body, but in your soul that causes you to live differently? Do you have a burning desire to live out God's purpose for your life? And look, when you feel that burn, when you feel that desire, you know what you got to do? You got to respond to it. You got to act to it. In fact, the New Testament calls us to do that as well. Paul in Philippians, let me read this to you. Paul in Philippians 3, he's talking about his purpose, his why. And here's what he says. Dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it yet, okay? But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Underline this. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. He says, man, I press on to try to attain my purpose in this life. How do you press on? If you're like, I think I know what my purpose is, but I'm not really sure what to do with that. How do you actually press on? Well, Nehemiah is going to show us, and I just wanted to give you four quick ways that Nehemiah shows us how we can actually press on. In fact, here's what we have to do. We gotta model Nehemiah's life. Nehemiah's model for living out our why. Here are the four ways that when we look at his life, how we can actually say, okay, I'm going to take my purpose and actually begin to live it out. Here's the first thing you got to do. You have to surrender your heart. You got to surrender your heart. Have you done that? You see, Nehemiah, before he was even in this story, when he was younger, at some time he had given his heart to God. He chose to follow the Lord, and he dedicated his life to serving God. He determined to live for him. My question for us is, and for you specifically, have you determined to live your life for Jesus? Have you determined to give up control? And that's one of the hardest things we can do. We are called to surrender our hearts. We're called to surrender the way we want to live. We're called to surrender just living selfishly for our own comfort and desires in this life. Ultimately, we're called to give our lives to Christ. That is the gospel. The truth you need to know this morning is that if you have not given your life to Jesus, if you've not trusted him, then man, it's going to be hard to find your God-given purpose in this world. Jesus, like we talked about earlier, he came, lived a perfect life, and died for you to pay for your sins. Have you trusted in him? Have you surrendered your life to that gift? The Bible says when you do that, you'll be saved. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, meaning when you believe what the Bible has to say about Jesus, when you trust in his salvation, when you do that, you'll be saved. That is the first step to actually understanding and beginning to live out your purpose, is to surrender your heart to God. Here's the second thing you got to do. You might say, hey, I've done that, Clayton. I'm in this room. I'm a believer in Jesus. I've done that. So now what am I supposed to do? Here's what else we have to do. We have to release our grip. As Christians, we love to hang on to control, don't we? Jesus, I love you. Thank you for dying for me, but I got this, right? I've got this life. I got all my plans. I got my future. We have to release our grip on things. You see, Nehemiah, he did that. He had a great job. He had security. He was set for life. He could have just coasted for the rest of his life, but he realized his purpose in life wasn't just to coast, you know? His purpose in life was not just to be set for life. And that's something we need to all understand in this room. Our purpose in this life is not just to work to be set for life. Because all of a sudden your life is going to be over and you didn't live it the way that God created you to live it. You know what we have to do? We got to put our futures on the table and say, God, what do you want from me? God, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you call me to do. All my future plans, I'm gonna set them aside, and I'm just gonna wait patiently and ask you to put on my heart what you want to do with my life. That is a scary prayer. Because we work so hard to set up our future the way we want it. And I wonder, is that what God has for your life? Is that what God wants for your life? See, Nehemiah, he was burdened about something. He got on his knees, he prayed, he asked God, God, would you use me? Would you do something incredible through me? Have you done that? Have you ever prayed that? Have you ever asked God that? What it requires is you releasing your grip on your future. Saying, God, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. He was open-handed. We got to release our grip. You know what else we have to do? We got to lift up our eyes to see what's going on in this life. Look, Nehemiah, he could see the problems that was going on. He saw the wall. He heard about it. He saw the people that were in need. And the reason he did is because he actually opened up his eyes. He wasn't just focused on himself. Look, the truth is there's needs all around us. But we're notorious for just focusing on our next step, right? I'm focused on I got enough problems of my own. I got enough things going on during the day. I got my schedule. I'm busy trying to raise a family, trying to work and earn a living. And I go to the grocery store and I'm just thinking about my list. And I go to this place. I go to my kid's ball game. Now all I'm focused on is my feet. And the truth is that when we're only focused on ourselves, we miss out on people that God has put next to us. Our focus is not on them. It's on ourselves. And we end up passing by people that God wants us to reach. We got to lift up our eyes. And when you do, you eventually got to do one last thing. And it's this. You got to put on your resoled shoes. Okay? Not your old shoes that have no traction. You got to put on your resoled shoes. This is what Nehemiah did. Like, the fix wasn't easy. Nehemiah saw this problem. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, he says, hey, let's rebuild the wall, okay? Let's change this place. I'm not satisfied with the status quo, the way things are. Let's make a difference. And the fix wasn't easy for him. It took a while. It was hard work. But you know what he did? He went and he put on his sandals, right? He laced up those sandals. He had shoes back then. He had sandals. He put those on, and it was hard work. And he got to work, and he served people, and he led. And you know what happened? It's not about the wall. It's about people's lives. People's lives were changed. Families were safe. Families were restored. People's hope was restored. It wasn't about brick and mortar. It was about people's lives. He began to transform people's lives. He got that burning desire to do something, and then he actually went and did something about it. And that's what this is about. Once you realize your purpose, you eventually got to do something about it. You can't just talk about this is going to be my purpose, and then you never fulfill it. You eventually got to put your resoled shoes on and go and do something about it. I mean, it's been rainy and nasty today. How many of y'all were scared about slipping and falling? Okay, some of y'all might have been scared about getting out in the water, slip and fall. So you don't run through that. You don't try to slide through that. You're going to go carefully through the water on the concrete or on the sidewalk or wherever. You're being careful because you realize you don't have that great of traction. And I think in this life, a lot of times we just, we want to do something great. We're not really sure what it is. And so we kind of just slip through this life. We have no real traction to live out our purpose. But once you figure out what that purpose is, it's like putting a new sole on the bottom of your spiritual shoes. And you're like, you know what? Now I can actually start to walk this life the way God wants me to walk it. And when you realize your why, you get this new mission. And it changes everything. Let me ask this. Could you tell someone right now what your purpose is? Again, if you're still checking out this Jesus thing, you're not really sure about this, let me just say this. The purpose of your life is to give your life to Jesus, to trust in him. That's the first step to living out your purpose. Have you done that? Have you put your hope in him? Or are you still trying to do things on your own? Man, that's a tough life. Trying to earn your way to God, earn your way to heaven. It's not going to work. God has provided a way for you if you will trust in him. But you know what? I get it. There's probably a vast majority in this room who are followers of Jesus. And you might say, well, you know what? I know what my purpose is, Clayton. My purpose is to live for God. That sounds amazing. I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. What does that actually mean for your life? That's a good basic statement. You're like, I'm going to live for God, but then you go and do your own thing. What does it actually mean for you specifically to live for God? Maybe you need some help to figure out what that is. In fact, I want to end this service a little bit differently. I want to ask everybody to take out their phones and open up your photo. You're not going to take a picture of me, okay? I want you to open up your camera, okay? Open up your camera. And I'm going to put something on the screen here. And what this is I want to help you to figure out what is your purpose. If you're like, Clayton, I do want to live for God. I'm just not sure how I'm supposed to do that. This is a great tool to help you to be able to figure out how has God wired me to live for him. It's just a shape assessment. It's free. It's easy. Take you a few minutes. What it'll do is it'll help you to figure out how has God created you, what kind of gifting has he given you to be able to begin to live out your purpose. I want to help you to be able to do that. Because here's the truth. When we all figure out what our purpose is, yes, our purpose is to live our lives for God, but specifically, what is that? When that happens, when we figure that out, families are changed. Lives are changed. Neighborhoods are changed. Cities are changed. We're not living for ourselves, but we're living for what God has called us to do. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone in this room. Thank you for everyone that's listening online right now. God, you've made us all really unique and shaped us for your purpose. I pray for anyone in this room who does not have a relationship with you, God, that today they would surrender their heart to you. They would stop fighting and running from you. They would stop and trust. You would change them, save them, and give them a new purpose in this life. Lord, I don't know what everybody's purpose is. Sometimes it's hard to nail that down. Maybe it's to care for people. Maybe, God, you've wired some people in this room to just be incredible carers of others. People that need support. Maybe some of us are called to be leaders. And we're not leading, we're not living out our purpose. Maybe some of us are providers. And that's how you've wired us. Maybe some of us just love to support other people, you know, out of the spotlight. That's where we find joy when we do those things. God, I do know that our purpose has to do with people because you love people. You came to this earth to live and to die for people. Help us, God, to figure out what our purpose is specifically so that we can live for you. And when we find that out, God, give us traction to be able to not just talk about it and talk a good game, but actually begin to live it out. We lift up our eyes. We let go of control. We live for you, trusting in you, just like Nehemiah. Thank you for his story, Lord. Thank you for teaching us today. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're super glad that you decided to join us today. And if this was your first time here at Central, we just want to say welcome to the family. We were super glad that you're here. If you're someone who during the message thought, you know what, I want to know more about Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to know what it means to be forgiven, then we want to connect with you. The easiest way is to text FORGIVEN to 94,000. That way, one of our ministers can reach out to you and you can begin this conversation of knowing more about God. Here at Central, we truly believe that Jesus changes everything. We'll see you next time.